Public News Service Daily Newscast for July the 30th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump, facing bleak prospects for a coronavirus aid deal, began pushing for a short-term patch Wednesday to protect renters and extend unemployment insurance. That from NBC News. They report that some Republicans immediately resisted the idea, leading to no apparent progress after a meeting with the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. According to Senator John Cornyn, there was no consensus on anything, just a lot of expression of views. NBC reports that Cornyn was one of several GOP senators who said they were opposed to a short-term extension. There are some states taking effective action against COVID-19. Our Laura Rosbrow Tillum reports Maine is one of the two states with the lowest pandemic risk levels. That's according to a new analysis from Harvard University.
The Harvard Global Health Institute and others, including Microsoft AI for Health, are tracking daily coronavirus cases across the country on an interactive map where most states' case numbers are rising. Director of the Harvard Global Health Institute, Dr. Ashish Jha, says Maine and Vermont consistently have had the lowest COVID case counts per capita.
The people who are going to be tempted to say, well, they're a small state, they don't have a lot of people, but let me tell you, there are a lot of small states that are also spread out that have many, many, many more cases per capita than Maine does.
Jha mentions that Alaska, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming all have significantly higher numbers of COVID cases per capita. But he warns that Maine must continue to be cautious if the state wants to remain in that safe zone.
Right now, Maine has about 1.5 daily new cases per 100,000 people. In March, Governor Mills declared a civil state of emergency within 3 days of the state's first recorded case of COVID-19. And the Connecticut legislature has passed sweeping reforms of policing in the state. The special session bills touches many aspects of policing, including data collection for police misconduct, empowering civilian review boards with the ability to subpoena, and ending stop-and-frisk policies. Melvin Medina is with the ACLU of Connecticut, which supports the bill. He says the bill also requires a police officer to intervene if a colleague is unjustifiably harming the public.
Those are key provisions to incentivize police officers to root out the cops who are continuously using this form of harm.
Officers who don't intervene or report misconduct can be held criminally liable. This is PNS. With many people needing internet service more than ever during the pandemic, a Maryland economist is recommending an extra tax on internet service providers to get them to offer better access across the state.
Aniban Basru, who heads the Maryland Economic Development Commission, told fellow commissioners this week that the tax would be an inducement for broadband firms to help close the digital divide. He points out that it's not just rural areas of Maryland that don't have broadband. Some big city neighborhoods also have been left off the internet grid.
There are many parts of the city of Baltimore, for instance, that do not have broadband access. And as it turns out, much of this absence of broadband access can be found, predictably, in West and East Baltimore. Again, not fair along social justice and other dimensions.
Many communities still lack service or can't afford the monthly cost, even if it is available. I'm Diane Bernard.
And Missouri voters will have a chance to decide whether the state should expand Medicaid in next Tuesday's primary election.
Amendment 2 would modify the Missouri Constitution to extend Medicaid coverage to adults ages 19 to 64 with incomes at or below 133% of the federal poverty level. Emily Culmer of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network says the amendment would benefit cancer patients and people with chronic health conditions who may have lost jobs in the COVID-19 crisis. She points out that lower-income Missourians would also be able to access early detection and diagnostic tests through Medicaid.
So one good example of that is colorectal cancer. We know Medicaid expansion increases colorectal cancer screening. Here in Missouri, the screening rate for the uninsured is about 35% compared to 69% overall.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
And finally, Eric Tikhonov tells us in-home caregivers, known as individual providers, are concerned about what budget shortfalls from COVID-19 will mean for bargaining with Washington State.
Individual providers help people with disabilities stay in their homes, but they often struggle financially. Gina Denton is an IP and member of the bargaining team for Service Employees International Union Local 775. She's fighting to keep raises on the table, saying some caregivers are going to food banks in order to stay afloat during the pandemic.
There have been many, many caregivers sounding off that they're going to have to figure something out. They're going to have to look at a different job somewhere else. Something that actually will pay to be able to afford to have a home to live in and food to eat.
Advocates say that caregivers save the state money by helping people remain at home rather than in congregate care facilities or other arrangements. I'm Mike Clifford, and thanks for starting your day with Public News Service. We're member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.